6:14 now, rainy Tuesday morning, and a flash flood warning in effect until about 8:15, I think. The rain should move out between 9 and 10, highs of 80 today, then the cold air filters in. And I was talking about the flashes before and having them on and how people are annoyed, and somebody texted and said it's annoying because it messes with your depth perception of the car with the flashes, which is dangerous and why it's illegal. I understand that, but what I find interesting about that is the first thing you said was it's annoying. You didn't say it's dangerous. You said it's annoying. And I just wonder why that annoys people so, because it's okay. Either way, I'm driving carefully, but it's illegal. Don't do it, and make sure you get your headlights on, although it's dark, so I would hope people are doing that anyway. Although, while I'm on this tear, I saw somebody run a red light at Holiday and MacArthur this morning in a black vehicle with no lights on in a pouring rain. Are you trying to cause an accident? Maybe. Robert Hogan joins us, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. Morning, Dr. Hogan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well.
Speaking of trying to cause an accident, I have a feeling that when it comes to former President Trump, I'm just going to call him that because there's too many elects, former this and that and the other thing. When it comes to President Trump, I think that he's dipping his toes in the water here to see just how much power they have in the Senate. And a friend of mine writes fan fiction, and he sent me a thing that I thought was kind of cute, and it was what's the craziest stunt we could pull to see who's terrified of us and who isn't was the question on the table. After a few seconds of silence, a voice was heard from a far corner of the room. That's easy. Appoint Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General. After a few moments of awkward laughter, Stephen Miller turned toward the unpaid staffer. That might, his voice and tone, be a great idea. With that, the plan began to develop. I wonder if all of these picks or some of them are not litmus tests to see just how much power the Trump administration is going to have. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. A lot of people, I mean, because these nominations are really so over the top.
That's why I read the fan fiction to you, Professor, because when I saw this, I thought, you know what, that's pretty well written. What's the craziest stunt we could pull? Well, let's name Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General, right? Go ahead.
Right. Robert Kennedy is Health and Human Services.
There you go. Another one right there. That's right.
Right. I mean, is that what he's trying to do to sort of test the limit? I don't know. I tend to go with the point of view that he is doing this because these are people that he believes in and wants to put in those roles. He wants people who are disruptors. And you know, this sort of revenge politics that seeps very close to the surface with Trump throughout his time in office, certainly fits the Matt Gaetz nomination. This is someone who he wants to exact revenge for his grievances on the Justice Department, and this is the best way to do it. You put someone in there who's going to really tear things up and change things in ways that the people who work there, long-term people who've made their career there, are not going to like it at all. Is it a test of seeing the limits of his power with senators? Yeah, I mean, I think that's a secondary thing. I think this is something that I think we can take Trump at his word. This is what he wants. This is the person that he believes will do the best job to do his bidding. He's someone, above all else, is loyal to Trump. And Trump, you know, may not care that much about the Defense Department, the Agriculture Department, or the Transportation Department, but by gosh, he cares about who is going to be in this position because he wants them to achieve the goals that he wants to achieve, and he wants to be able to pick up the phone. I mean, one of the things, you know, presidents have long had difficulty managing their cabinet secretaries, right? They appoint to someone, they go away, and they, as it said, they sort of, cabinet secretaries often take on the role as advocates for the department. Yeah, that they're running, and presidents have difficulty, you know, exacting, you know, their ability to get their ideological position as well as their agenda heard and acted upon. And so this is what better way of doing that than appointing a staunch loyalist to that position who will do anything that you want.
So with that being said, what happens now in the Senate? It's like, okay, made his move in this game of chess. Now it's up to the Senate. What do we expect to see from them?
Well, I think there's gonna, I think there's a lot of deference. If you, I mean, the first thing usually out of the mouths of every Republican senator is asked about this is that, well, the president deserves to have the people that he wants in these positions of authority and power to push his agenda forward. So I think you're going to get a lot of deference. I mean, you've already seen from the Speaker of the House, who has the ability to force the release of this ethics probe on Gates, has said he doesn't think that's necessarily a good idea. So, you know, I think that there are lots of reasons that people will be giving for this. I think the other thing that Trump is going to benefit from that we don't recognize right now is that as we move closer and closer to him taking the oath of office, there's going to be a whole lot more stuff on the agenda that may even be bigger. He hasn't put forth the specifics of any policy proposals that he plans to have introduced in the Congress, or what specific executive action he's going to take. Part of how Trump achieves what he achieves is through this constant, you're constantly having one crisis or one outrage over another. And right now, Matt Gaetz is the biggest thing that people are talking about, or one of the biggest things. But what's it going to be next week? There may be something even more huge that we're talking about with regard to Trump, and this sort of falls in the background. And in that way, in that, under those conditions, the president is able many times to get what he wants.
Let me take a break. Let's talk about role of cabinet secretaries. We come back. I'm getting texts from people in favor of Matt Gaetz, against Matt Gaetz, in favor of Robert Kennedy, against Robert Kennedy. What effect a cabinet secretary really does have on their everyday lives, or is it all sound and no fury, or the other way around? I get confused. 621, it's rainy, I know that. Let's look at traffic now on WWL. All right, 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Be careful out there, raining. Again, the flashers only if you're stopped. That's what the law says. We're talking to Dr. Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. Professor, a couple of questions that came in. First of all, when it comes to Matt Gaetz, he resigned his current position in the House of Representatives, but he was reelected to a new term. So how does that all play out?
I'm not certain how it plays out in Florida. I suspect it will require a special election, and that is one of the issues regarding Trump's appointments. Is that?
But is there a distinction between resigning from this session of Congress or and the next that he was reelected to?
I don't know. Hmm. I mean, if he's resigned, I mean he and. I see what you're saying, yeah. But I don't think that matters. But this has been an issue, you know, with the Trump appointments, is that he's whittling. He already has the Republicans already have a very slim majority in the House, and this is, you know, creating vacancies, making it more difficult for them to achieve what they want in the House. So
somebody else wanted to know about Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. While not a cabinet position, I want you to talk about that because I think that's interesting. Be the first woman ever, which surprised me, to be Chief of Staff for a president in the history of the country. And the role of the Chief of Staff, while not an official cabinet position, how important that is when it comes to a president and setting the agenda and all those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, the Chief of Staff has become the central point, the fulcrum, if you will, the gatekeeper in many administrations for all the cabinet-level secretaries as well as the White House office. You've got a lot of people who report to the president. The White House office was created back in the 40s or 50s, and those are offices that really mirror cabinet department areas. It's a way that the president tries to coordinate all the efforts in the administration for particular departments. And all of that flows through the gatekeeper, which is the Chief of Staff. So it has become a critical role as the size and scope of presidential power and just the size of government has been enhanced or increased. You need help doing that, and the gatekeeper is important. A lot of some presidents have used the Chief of Staff very much like a gatekeeper. No one comes to the president but by the Chief of Staff. Other administrations have been much more freewheeling, and you have presidents sort of phoning people and talking to whoever they want. You know, it's hard to imagine Trump being someone who utilizes the chief of staff as a chief gatekeeper. He is somebody who very often will pick up the phone and call whoever he wants and talk to whoever he wants. So it'll be interesting to watch this person in action. Let's put it that way.
I think it'll also be interesting to see how he gets along with the people that eventually wind up being cabinet secretaries, because he can have limited patience.
Yeah, I mean, several cabinet secretaries in his last administration were dismissed, in part because one could argue that he didn't know as much what he's doing. This time around, he is much more familiar with the Washington environment and who will be loyal to him and or not, because loyalty, I think, is one of the key things that's critical to him.
Thank you, Professor. Oh, and real quick, for the people that are concerned that a new cabinet secretary is going to make their life perfect, and the ones that think it's going to be the ruination of the country, I presume the truth is somewhere in between?
That would be a good way of putting it, yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Dr. Robert Hogan, Professor, you too, Professor and Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. We'll come back. We'll talk to Leah Long, Director of the Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. See what the Louisiana small businesses are watching with the special session right now, 6:30, time for WWL First News.